bring greetings to each of you in Jesus' name this morning. It's good to be back at Elm Street again and share worship with you. We have been gone from Elm Street the last three Sundays, and we're glad to be back here again. There is a sense where we probably feel a little bit like, where do we belong? There's a little bit of that feeling, but we're trusting God for the future to strengthen our faith and encourage us as we move on. I appreciated the service, the songs that were sung, the devotionals, very much. I was very challenged when you left your room this morning, did you think to pray? That song really impacted me as I listened to the words of that and how vital prayer life is. I've read recently that they've found that praying actually increases your brain cells. It's good for your brain to pray, just physically. Well, we know it's good for our body and our spirit more than just physical. It's good for our mental and our spiritual walk. Why don't you turn with me to the book of Joshua and Joshua chapter 1. You will be listening for the next few minutes on an insight into my heart, I guess, as I am living these months. And my desire is that you would be encouraged and strengthened in your walk that God has you on and in your journey. I would like to read Joshua chapter 1 at this time. I would like to notice, I'll give you the title after we read this chapter, but I would like for us to focus on two men, Joshua and Caleb. Remember, they were part of the 12 spies that went into Canaan. And Joshua and Caleb had a different view of Canaan than what 10 of the spies did. And why was that? We want to look at that in a bit. Explore that a little bit. Let's read Joshua chapter 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness in this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, Pass through the hosts, and command the people, saying, Prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land, which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. And to the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and to half the tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua, saying, Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, The Lord your God hath given you rest, and hath given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them, until the Lord have given your brethren rest, as he hath given you. And they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then ye shall return unto the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side Jordan toward the sun rising. And they answered Joshua, saying, All that thou commandest us, we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. According as we hearken unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment, and will not hearken unto thy words, in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage. I really enjoy Joshua chapter 1. Only be strong and of a good courage. The title is, Courage to Move Beyond the Wilderness. Courage to Move Beyond the Wilderness. Well, preacher, are we in a wilderness today? Are we living in a wilderness? What are you talking about? Courage to move beyond the wilderness. Let's think about it just a little bit. So, fathers, today, young fathers, in the midst of family life, earning money for a family, supporting a family, the questions of child training, the trying to love our wife the way the Bible teaches, laying down self, the pastors, the deacons, the school teachers among us, the mothers, living their life at home day after day, caring for the little ones and the teenagers, the adolescents, the questions that come, the sleepless nights, maybe. Maybe it's the elderly among us who are struggling with health and the questions of what does God have for me? This pain seems to be just ongoing. Is something seriously wrong? When should I get it checked out? Or what shall I do? This is keeping me up at night. Last night I only slept 3 hours. What about how am I going to do tonight? And you know, we live in bodies of failing bodies, bodies that will die eventually, and our bodies fail. And we live in the presence of the curse around us, of things failing and falling apart and decaying. And if we're not careful, our vision can become clouded and it does feel like we're in a wilderness. That we are in, where's the end of this? Someone has said, when you're going through a tunnel and you cannot see the light at the other end, the option to throw away the ticket and jump off the train, that's not the option. The option is just to stay on and trust the conductor, trust the engineer to get you through. So Joshua, what was it about Joshua and Caleb? And we'll notice Caleb a little bit later. What was it that Joshua is alive after the wilderness experience And now God is saying to him, verse 1, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise. What was it about Joshua? So think with me a little bit. What was Joshua living through? Let's think about it just for a moment. Let's say that there were 1 million people the ages 20 years old and older who died in that time span. If my figures are correct, you can figure over this. But let's say it was 1 million. I figured there would be probably 700 people a day dying. Every day there were 700 people dying through the wilderness experience. Joshua is alive today, and Joshua is alive in this experience, and he is called of God to lead these people. Why? Numbers 4, verse 14 says about Caleb. The Bible says that Caleb had a different spirit in him. He had a different spirit in him. Courage to move beyond the wilderness. Courage is strength in the face of pain or grief. Courage implies strength to move ahead without succumbing to fear and doubt. Courage believes the promises of God and moves ahead. And I think in my experience, one of the challenges that I have is to have courage and faith to believe the promises of God. To believe the promises of God in the midst of a time when things may look different. And we'll notice some of those promises in just a bit. But to believe the promises of God. Joshua and Caleb believed God. They believed him. It didn't make a difference to them if there were giants there or not in Canaan. They believed God. And I read this more last evening, I came across a simple phrase which strengthened me. And it was a simple phrase that said, God is always more powerful than we are. God is always more powerful than we are. He will not override our will. No. But through prayer and through intercession of other people and instances outside of our control, God can do a work for His glory. No matter how hard the heart may be or how difficult it may be, never stop praying. God is always more powerful than we. What spirit am I of? You see, some of us are different. Some of us see the glass half full. Others of us see it half empty. We have different perspectives. The 10 spies died in the wilderness. Joshua and Caleb lived on to experience the blessing of the inheritance. Joshua became leader. Caleb received the mountain for his inheritance. I'd like to move on. Just a simple message this morning, just a few points. Number one is taken from verse 2. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise. Courage to move beyond the wilderness. Number one, God called Joshua to arise with courage because there was a work that needed to be done. There was a work that needed to be done. The same is true for us today. There is a work for all of us to do. Courage to move beyond. Joshua, God called him to courage, saying, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people. I say courage to move out of the wilderness that we are envisioning as our wilderness. We are One side of us is feeling this box we're in. And we feel trapped and bound by this experience or whatever it is. I say that the Christian, the call of courage, is to look over the edge. To look over the edge of the box. There's a work for me to do. There is someone else that I can encourage even amidst my pain, amidst my struggle. Yes, it may be hard, but you know, when we take the attention off ourselves and put it on other people, we receive courage. We receive courage. There's a work to be done. There's a work for us all to do. Are we shouldering the work? Am I shouldering the work? You know, at the age I am, 44, I'm sensing that, you know, the generation that went before me is fading off the scene. They're passing away. The work is falling on our shoulders. We can choose to say that the giants ahead of us are too great. We're not going to be able to do it. We can choose that. We will die in the wilderness. Or we can choose to say that I'm going to trust God. I'm going to trust God, the God of Moses. And I'm going to arise and I am going to go over Jordan. I'm going to go with the power of God. We won't go into all the work that there is to do. Let's not focus on all the work that needs to be done. Let's just focus on our connection with God and following Him. Calling us to arise. I think of the story of Elijah, who, when he received that oppression upon him by Jezebel, fled to the mountain, and there he was. But God found him there. And God said, "What are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing here? I have a work for you to do. I have a work for you to do. Arise." We have Jordans to cross and mountains to embrace, don't we, today? We have Jordans to cross. We have mountains to embrace. We have a journey to go. I remember an instance of a family who was relating to a prodigal son, and they were going through intense pain and grief because of the journey of a son going away from the faith. And they went to a viewing of a young couple who had a young son that was killed tragically. And as they were going through the viewing line and the meeting, shaking hands with the parents, and they were talking to the mother soon switched from herself and asked them, the couple who was coming through the line, "And how are you doing? How is your journey?" That is courage. To move beyond the wilderness, to look and to reach out of my own pain into the pain of someone else. And I want to tell you that amazing things happen in people's hearts at those moments. Amazing things. But it takes courage to reach out of the walls that I am in to touch somebody else's life. It takes courage. But I say that is church. That is building the kingdom. And what I mean to say is that there is a work for us to do, brothers and sisters. There is work for us. There is real men of God care about other people and not just themselves. I was challenged by that recently in listening to a sermon or a talk on that. And I was challenged by that. Real men of God care about the lives of other people. I don't have a scripture verse for that right now, but I believe it. We have Jordans to cross. Maybe you feel lonely today. And you feel like, what does God have for me? Really? What does God have for me? I say, trust God. Stay close to God and His work. And if you feel like you do not have work to do, ask God to show you something to do. And I have confidence He will. He will give you something to do if you're open to it. And your life will be fulfilling. But Satan wants to bind us. As little Greg was this week, Satan wants to bind us, you know, with the rope of our own thoughts and just trap us. Those of you who were here and saw a little illustration up front with Andy and his son. Maybe you're called to teach school. Maybe you have the responsibility of caring for an aged parent. Perhaps you have lost a loved one. Maybe you wonder what God has for you and it feels you have no work to do. God has a work for you to do. Open yourself up to Him. The promises given to Joshua in verse 5, as I was with Moses, I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, I will not forsake thee. Those are God's promises to the child of His. I will not fail thee, I will not forsake thee. Can we believe it? Can we embrace it? That God will not forsake us. Number two, God called Joshua to be strong and courageous in diligent obedience. In verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Diligent obedience. Brethren and sisters, loved ones today, we must obey the word of God. It is essential to moving from the wilderness to Canaan's land, to obey the Bible, to obey the scripture, to read it, to meditate in it, to allow the Spirit to speak to us, that you may observe to do. I say that obedience to the scripture is noticed. It is noticed. It is lived. We can see it. Privilege carries responsibility. Today, we are faced with temptations to lay down our guards. We're faced with temptations to accommodate and to compromise. At least I am. When we're asked questions about a certain situation, how do you feel about it? And someone is looking to us fathers. Maybe it's your wife and girls or one of the children. And they're coming to you and they're asking for you to, what do you think? It takes courage for fathers to say what they really think. To say what they really think. I find that in my experience. And especially if we know it's going to go across maybe someone's will or preference. It takes courage. But let us stand faithful and firm and obey the scripture. Strength to go on and courage to go on is connected with our commitment to obey God, His word, and to believe it. Courage to go on. Doubting Thomas said, "Lest I see, I will not believe." Jesus said, "Blessed are those who believe and have not seen." Believing in something we have not seen requires faith. Have you seen the future ahead of you? Does it require faith for you as you look into the future? I'm glad I cannot see the future ahead of me. I'm not sure that I could handle it. I'm glad God gives it one moment at a time. But remember, God promised Joshua, "As I was with Moses, I will be with thee." But yet, the promises come with a responsibility, and that responsibility is obedience. The prosperous way is a way of obedience. The successful way is the way of meditating on the Word of God. And by prosperous, it does not simply mean money and wealth and the widow who threw in her two mites, that all she had was a prosperous person. Prospering spiritually, she gave more than all the rest. A warning for us. Psalm 1, let's turn to Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2. I'd just like to read this, and just a warning for us. You can say these verses by heart, I'm sure. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You notice a progression of allurement. First he's walking by, then he's standing, and then he's sitting in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Verse 3, and he should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I see a person that is committed to God, delighting in the law of the Lord. And I'm challenged in this, in my own experience, to delight in the law of the Lord and to read it, to meditate in it. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth fruit. As I spoke about earlier, moving beyond the wilderness, moving across Jordan, bringing forth fruit. I say we must study the word and we must obey it. Number 3, last point is this, and it's the reward of courage. Turn with me to Joshua 14. The reward of courage. I'm going to start at verse. Well, let's see. Let's start at verse 10. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me, and this is Caleb talking now, Joshua's friend, kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain. Wherefore the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakim were there, and the cities were great and fenced. And if so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. The reward of courage. Verse 13, and Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron for an inheritance. And Hebron became his possession. Hebron, the mountain of giants, became the inheritance of Caleb. Why? Because there was a different spirit in Caleb. It was a spirit of trusting God and believing the promises of God. And because he wholly followed the Lord. 1 Peter 1:13 says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. It goes on to talk about, well, maybe I should just turn to that. I just think it's so important. 1 Peter 1 and verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all matter of conversation. And so on. I think it's so important, in verse 13, that we gird up the loins of our mind. What do we mean by that? There's a lot that happens in our mind. The battle happens in our mind. And there is a battle. Am I going to advance in courage? Or am I going to recoil in fear and doubt? And the battle happens in our mind. And it's going to be influenced by our feeding habits. It's going to be influenced by that. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. God has done so much for us. Has done so much for us. Mountain conquering requires a steady winning, one battle at a time. One battle at a time. 1 Corinthians 16:13, watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong, be brave. I'd like to just give you now just a few promises of God that I find encouraging for me. I just have four of them. There's many, many more. But I see them as foundational promises that must be fixed in our mind and settled in our mind. And they are essential for moving out of the wilderness and a continuing a progression of victory. And number one is this, the promise of God's salvation. John 10, verse 9, I am the door, by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. I think a foundational promise in our mind that must be settled is the salvation question in our experience. Coming to grips with God's call in our life. Oh, it will not take away all the battles, all the questions, all the temptations to doubt and despair. No, it won't take them all away. But it's essential that we answer that question. Number two, God's presence through suffering. Isaiah 41. I don't have the verse written down, but fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Presence through suffering. A number of you, a lot of you have gone through suffering a lot more severe than I have ever gone through. But I would venture to say that you have found God faithful in your suffering. That God has been there. It's like Brother Galen said, isn't it amazing how God will bring us to situations of suffering? And it's in the most intense pain where we find the sweetest communion or the sweetest deliverance. I don't think we should pray for suffering just so that we have that. That's not what I'm trying to say. And I'm not trying to say that you can't have a fulfilling relationship with Jesus without intense suffering. That's not what I'm trying to say. Number three, rest for the soul amidst a heavy burden. Matthew 11:28-30, just simple verses. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And the last one, victory over sin. That's the temptations that come to us are measured by God. And each one has an accompanying escape. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Brothers, today, there's no temptation that's going to come to us that is just going to totally wipe us out. We can never say that temptation was greater than, well, yeah, might have been greater than our trust in God and goal for victory, but it's never greater than God's power. There's always a way that we can bear it. Well, the burden of the message is this. What is it? Don't give up. Don't succumb to the box that you may feel you're in that is keeping you trapped there. But reach out to God. Trust His promises. Look over the wall. There's a work to be done. There is a word of God to obey. And there is a reward to come if we're faithful to Him. Let us kneel to pray.